Hi, everyone.
Welcome back. We have reached the final show of 2023.
What an accomplishment it is to do a podcast pretty much every week of the year.
It is. And might I say, a show that began as a limited series.
Mm-hmm.
And then we said, let's keep it going.
I don't niche so. And then we niched it out
and then
into a full-time
hold it
podcast
through the year. And we thought, what better way to haul the two niche 2023 body of hauls than the haulers themselves? You, me.
You, me, two mics, two dogs, and the 2023 pod episodes. So this is a bit of a cheat, a bit of an easy lift, because we are winding down. It literally is the end of the year. No one wants to work anymore. And I'm very curious about how that energy is going to even like feel wrapped up. Like, I don't foresee me being like rested and starting off 2024 feeling like energized.
I pray for it, though, for myself.
I would love if that were the case, but I'm like,
I want to wake up and just be ready for the day one day.
I know. And I'm like, if everyone's burnt out now, it's not going to like magically get better just because the Gregorian calendar changed years.
But it's a great lie that we continue to perpetuate as a society that a new year constitutes a new you and a new vibe.
I know. I need like a really significant spend in order to feel refreshed.
Anything?
In the way that I need a deep, deep spend, and I don't have the resources to make that spend at this moment. So I'm feeling like I'm going to just continue burning out.
Well, you know, as like the great wise men say,
mm-hmm.
If you can't spend it, haul it.
The wisest men have indeed said this. Thank you for reminding me.
It's an old adage. But we have to say, as we said, this show started as a limited series, just a fun little like holiday boop boop bop.
A little experiment, if you will.
Turned into a full thing. And that's because of the people listening. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this has been such a true joy.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Of the year.
And it really is just the beginning. And you know what? I feel like we are really groundbreaking in this hauling podcast space. And I feel like we're going to see more people doing these types of podcasts in the coming years.
But just remember,
there is only one.
There are only two grandfathers of the audio haul.
Yeah, Holly gang. Okay, this is like a really good line of merch that we need to make. Okay, so we're hauling our own content and we're going to take a trip down memory lane and include some like choice clips and favorite moments from past hauls of 2023.
And a lot of you who engage with us on Instagram weighed in
mm-hmm.
on your favorite episodes and hauls. So we'll be taking to that data as well as we haul the hauls.
So I want to shout out for our first haul down memory lane, the VPR singles episode.
Ooh.
Because I feel like that was like a psychic hit on both of our parts. That was like a suggestion that came from you. And the timing of it was really blessed because it coincided with the news of Scandoval breaking.
And now I feel this to be definitely true, and anybody can look to the playlist that we made that goes in tandem with the episode over on Spotify. But when you play all these songs in the order in which we played them and hauled them, it will conjure something hyper dramatic, such as
A Scandaball?
A Scandaball.
Okay, I like that. You need to play that now so we can conjure a new Scandaball for the start of the year. Because yeah. I think that would bring me back from my burnout.
Okay.
So episode 15, Vanderpump Rules singles. Here's a clip of us singing Sandoval's praises before we knew the truth of who he really is.
Didn't age well. I think of all of the VPR cast members that I would like to see soar, I don't think it's James Kennedy. I don't know who it is yet.
I want to see him soar, but I want to see him happily
soaring. I think Tom Sandoval.
Really?
Is who I'd like to see. Like, he's just, he's got the passion. He's a has a good soul. He's genuinely a nice guy. Yeah. Final answer, Tom Sandoval.
Okay. I say James Kennedy because I just do hold a soft spot for him. And I like I see a James who's really healed past like childhood bullying trauma, past like family trauma, and who's confidently sassy in himself, lyrical genius, white Kanye West, rock star.
Top man.
And like just flying above and beyond, living his dream, like on jets, but humbled and grounded.
I'm holding space in my heart for both of them to thrive.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
I'm not going to have like scarcity complex.
Exactly.
For them.
Exactly.
Next up, I think my favorite haul of all time has to be Corporate American Eco Disasters.
A beautiful.
A gorgeous dark haul.
Gorgeous dark haul. The thing that I love about our dark hauls is that this one, I think this was our first of the dark hauls.
Mm-hmm.
It is not something I would have thought to do right away. And thanks to your genius brain that brought this concept to the table, I felt like I expanded in my hauling vernacular by going dark.
It's important to go dark to see the light.
Yep.
I think another old wise man said that once upon a time. I learned a lot about pollution. I learned a lot about multi-billion dollar corporations. And I learned a lot about oil spills that are just spilling probably to this very day.
Still spilling.
Still spilling, still making money. Here's a little clip. Shout out to those oil spills that are still spilling. And here's a little clip to memorialize their magic.
Imagine being the guest at the dinner party who just continues to spill.
Every time something comes out in liquid form, you're spilling it the entire time and refusing to clean it up. So, and even when you go to the bathroom, you're pissing all over the toilet seat, all over the floor. You are like clogging the sink. Not only you've clogged the toilet's overflowing. You're clogging the sink. The sink is overflowing. You're going back to the table, leaving like
wine
wet
bottles.
Footprints. Maybe you knocked over accidentally like a little...
A vase.
Yeah, a vase. That's spilling. You're destroying someone's house and you're kind of just like, what? Like this, like, don't look at me. They're like, please clean it up. Or they're like, please just leave. How about? But then you don't leave and you continue to walk into every room and spill every liquid you can. Then you walk outside, turn on a hose, bring the hose inside and just start spraying down the walls of their house, spilling everywhere.
And then you actually say, actually, I've been inconvenienced and I should be getting a kickback.
Yeah. Then you like somehow make money off of you going through every room of their house with the hose. Then finally they sue you and they're like, you have to clean up my house. Like you destroyed it. And you're like, fight them in court for years about it. Then finally you're like, fine, I'll like set some money aside to clean it up. But you end up then getting out of paying taxes for the rest of your life. It's insane.
Next up we're calling this the Haulies.
The 2023 Haulies.
Yeah.
Where we haul our own content and give ourselves props for making the content.
If you can't haul your own hauls, then no one else will.
Amen.
The only, actually, we would be the people.
Mm-hmm.
So That's why this all makes sense.
And we have limited time. Okay, what's next on the list?
Okay, I would say soft life essentials. This, to me, is my ideal haul because it straddled the line between an ideology, which is soft life, and then stuff to buy. And I like ideologies and I like consumerism.
And a merging of the two
is a sweet spot.
Indeed. I think as the year has gone on, my life has gotten softer and softer and softer. And now I'm entering my blob era.
What does that entail?
It just means like pretty horizontal, an ever expanding waistline and pajamas and a weighted blanket.
Yeah, I've definitely been more horizontal this year than most.
Mm-hmm. Socks.
I've taken to the bed. Taking to the bed. A lot of activities.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that I feel like it's just now back of hand way of life. And it's fine. Weather, water's fine. Get in.
So here's a little moment of us introducing a concept that we would then end up adopting: hook, line, and sinker. I think even when you try to disengage from hustle culture, it's like nearly impossible. Or the mindset around it. For me, also, like deprogramming that mindset of like, if one thing slides, everything's gonna slide, and it's just suddenly gonna be like a backslide into like becoming broke and like unhoused and being like, my life is in shambles. Like, I think you have to be like actively back to treating yourself and going baby mode, being like, that's not gonna happen. Like, it's all gonna be okay. Like, things are good. And like, remind yourself that things are okay. And not in a delusional way. Like, obviously, if your like life is in shambles, things are not okay. But they can still, you can still go baby mode and say they're going to be okay.
Going baby mode is my new favorite ideology.
Mm-hmm. I highly recommend going baby mode. Okay, next up, one of my favorite hauls that was a two-parter was the Lana haul that we did.
This was also a fan favorite. The write-ins featured a lot of LDR. And in my head, when I see LDR, I don't automatically go to Lana Del Rey. I think of like Latter-day Saints, even though it's
even
not
though
right.
That's LDS.
Yep. But That's how my brain works. And so then I was like, LDR. Oh, I was a little slow, but I got it. And I agree. I think it was really exciting and expanding for me to do a deep dive on an artist catalog that I only really knew surface level.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you for introducing said artist to me and my Spotify playlist.
You're so welcome.
And I just love a song haul. It's like one of my favorite categories that we get to do here on this very program.
Yeah, a song haul is always a strong haul. And this one was no different. And just for everyone, like a little FYI, Lana was my most played artist this year, I think, as well as last year. So my Spotify Wrapped was literally Lana Del Rey and Taylor Swift.
Mine was, number one was Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
My number two was Mariah Carey.
Wow.
Well, my number three was Mariah Carey. My number two was like this classical piano thing because I listen to classical music in the morning.
Nice.
But Mariah was three, which was interesting, which maybe that's a next year, 2024 haul.
What city did it tell you belonged in?
It was like San Fernando Valley or something. So
I love that. Mine was Boulder, Colorado. I think because of all the Grateful Dead, but it was like, your Boulder vibes, bitch.
Yeah, no,
which
mine
was a shock to me because I've been to Boulder and I haven't loved it.
It was like Inland Empire.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was different.
A California girl.
Tourism.
So here's a little clip from our Lana haul to get you back in a Lana zone. Because I'm going to skip to another cover, which I think is one of the most brilliant covers of all time.
Okay.
Which was both You and Me.
We both had this
both
one?
Threw oh, this
yeah.
On the
okay,
hall.
I know what this one is.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is major.
Mm-hmm.
Summertime, and the living's easy. Rallies on the microphone with Ross MG. All the people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified to represent the LBC. Me and Louis, we gonna run to the party and dance to the rhythm, it gets harder.
A++++. So good.
I was such a Sublime head.
Same.
In high school. And like,
it's like a really seminal album, I think, for our generation.
Yeah, it was important. And then to have her doing this, like, ties it all together. And it's just like a great, great cover.
Yeah.
And I love that she didn't change any of the lyrics.
Me too.
And the music video is also an A+. She's like a giant. Like a giant woman walking around LA, and like, I just love like a giant.
I have to do a video anthology next.
I know, the videos are really good.
Okay, I will say next for me was our wellness trends episode, because it was fun to bring sort of my past podcasting life into my new podcasting life.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I learned is, like, once you're tapped into the trends of, like, a certain vertical, you never leave. You're stuck. So you might as well talk about it. You might as well name them.
Name them. Haul them.
Haul them.
Yeah. What were the wellness trends that we talked about? PMF, which has really come into the forefront.
We talked about
saunas. Vibes. I still pay for Vibes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Which is the sending vibes to your house.
Yeah, also. I actually need to start doing the like Vibes mega boosts. I don't do those enough.
We talked about ion layer NAD therapy.
Mm-hmm. Still doing NAD.
Juna chlorophyll drops. Still do those. And Akashic Records reading. Still do my monthly.
Ugh, I need to get into that.
Carrie Ann is amazing. I've at this point been working with her for 3.5 years now.
How are your records?
On a monthly basis. I talk to my guides. My records are great.
Pristine.
Pristine. We are vibing high.
Okay, I love
at this
that.
Point. Life force energy is up, up, up.
Vibes are critical but stable. Here's a little clip to wet your whistle for wellness trends. I'm going to now recommend something that people have said to me and made fun of me for this, but I truly don't care because I believe in it and I think that it's helped me, and that's where I stand with it.
Okay.
I was told about this company called F Life, Focused Life Energy Force.
LOL it being called F Life.
And
already I'm into it.
Yeah, I was like, I'm listening. And whenever someone's talking about frequencies, like, my third eye is open. I love it. I love that you can't see them. I love just like the idea of vibes. Like, tell me more. So this company, I guess, can like generate frequencies and they send them to your house.
They're a vibe delivery service.
Yeah. And like nothing happens except they like turn on the frequencies and just like are sending frequencies to your house. And it's just like good energy. They like raise the frequency of your surroundings. And they offer like a, you can either have them send it to your living house. You can have them send it to your phone and then you just carry around your phone. You can have them send it to an object and it'll just be in an object, but it raises the frequencies. You can like even jack up the frequencies if you want to do a meditation, like for 2 minutes and
they'll
like
send you a boost.
They'll boost you, or you can do like another boost. They have like a 30-minute version. But this was firing in all cylinders for me because I love something that you, that's it completely intangible, that might actually be fake, but if not, is the best invention I've ever heard of. And they had a free trial where you didn't have to put a credit card down or anything. So I was like, whatever, like I'll see about this good energy. I tried it for 15 days, which is a very generous free trial period. And I'm telling you, the vibes in this apartment,
the vibes are strong.
The week, I couldn't remember like what week it was going off, but I remember waking up and I was like, I wonder if the thing is over because I'm not feeling as like good of vibes around here. And then I checked and it had expired. So I immediately signed up. I think it's $30 a month and I'm just paying for vibes now. And I am happy to do it. And I think
you're like, fuck the Erewhon smoothie. I'll take the vibes.
I'll take vibes for 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a pretty low overhead for like a high reward. I feel like my personal vibes have been better. Like I'm just like, I'm a big proponent. And I suggested it on, I think, a bonus episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. And the few people that have done it have also been like, things are shifting.
Okay.
One of my other favorite episodes was TikTok conspiracy theories.
You want to know something exciting? TikTok conspiracy theories was the number one listened to Niche Hall on Spotify of 2023.
Yeah. Love that.
The most shared episode was our VPR singles.
Nice.
Doesn't that feel right?
Yeah. Finger on the pulse.
Yeah.
Just the cutting edge of the zeitgeist.
Would love to do a part two, TikTok conspiracy theories.
There are so many more conspiracy theories out there. And we need to be hauling them.
We must. Let's revisit a popular conspiracy that I'm still keeping eyes on. Britney AI. I feel like I'm not doing the best job explaining like what's out there because it's just, it puts me into a trance when I see it. And I feel like it's sinister feeling and it makes me sad. And
I think the biggest theory, like to some being on up, is like Britney is being hidden away somewhere and we don't know where she is, but there's all this other stuff being put out there that's supposed to be representative of like her current status, but there's something really off about it and it's not, which I think that is true. I think there is some sort of like obfuscation of her whereabouts, but I think it's just like, maybe she filmed, I mean, her videos are always weird. She does like use filters and stuff. She probably just has a lot of videos filmed that someone, a social media manager, just puts up.
Yep. And this all reached a fever pitch a few months ago when Perez Hilton got online and he gave that testimonial that he was like, what I know is so detrimental and it's so dark and like what's happening to Britney is she's not okay, and he like took it to the socials and was like confessing this alleged like dark secret that he knows about Britney, and then that just faded away. But that really gave ammo to the BNN community. And then another, like, other bits are that this woman, Lou Taylor, who had a really strong hand in Britney's conservatorship, is also linked to the Kardashians and Paris Hilton. And so it was interesting how Paris was at the wedding. There's like all these loose ties roaming around.
Okay. Like she still might be part of the team to kind of keep things seeming like they're being held together. Yeah.
But I have prayers for Brittany. I love her. I think she wants us to leave her alone. So maybe we should move on.
Yeah, we can move on. I hope that she finds peace.
Me too.
Wherever she is, and it just is happy and peaceful and she gets really what she wants out of life.
Was it. She was the it factor for mm-hmm. so long. And I remember when she was just like reigned supreme. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder what is going to happen, because people don't sustain this level of notoriety and fame for very long. So like, what will the downfall be? Never in a million would I have guessed like truly what happened, because it is the craziest thing.
Yeah, it's really tragic. Did that, there was a follow-up Britney doc, did they shed any light on the subject?
Yes, I watched it. It's on Hulu right now. Hulu's got some strong documentary options at the moment. It was like a TMZ thing. They basically got into the darkness, but then kind of like ended on a lighter note. They're like, her book's scheduled to come out and she's living her life. Who knows?
But where did they, what did they say as to where she's been? Did they address like BNN theories, or they're just kind of like, she's kooky, but she's cool?
They addressed the BNN, but they were more, it was more, how do I say it? They were like, it was like an exploration of those theories, but it was nothing like we didn't already know.
And no definitive like answer.
No definitive answers.
That's frustrating.
Yeah.
For that, I give this conspiracy theory a B.
For BNN?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A B minus a none.
Yeah, a B minus. That sounds right.
But I think it is a fun trail to go down, but you got to like immediately get outside.
Yeah. Then you have to watch something light or like journal it out and not get swept up. Another fan favorite episode and one of my favorite hauls we did was the Sex in the City episodes, episode 31. It was just a treat to get to pull out my Sex in the City book and thumb through and remember some of the best times in my life, which is discovering those episodes, watching them multiple times, loving them, being able to know some of them by heart.
Yeah, that was, we are both, I think our fandom for that show is equal. And it was really fun to like discourse on it with somebody at the same level of mm-hmm. knowledge. I don't know if I said this on the show, but I wrote a thesis paper when I was at Columbia College, which I know you went to as well.
Wow.
I was there for a year and a half, and I was taking a gender studies course. So for my thesis paper for the semester, I did third wave feminism themes with Sex in the City. And I felt like the research and time put into such a endeavor like really came back around for that episode in a great way.
A rare moment of college education serving you in real life. We love to see it.
It's the one and only time.
Here's a little clip of us discussing one of our favorite Sex in the City episodes of all time. Season 2, episode 17.
Yep.
20-something girls versus 30-something women.
This one.
A classic.
Just so good. Dr. Bradley Migo.
Oh my God, Dr. Bradley Migo. Carrie in the board shorts and bikini
so
top
cool.
combo.
Coolest. Also, Greg, who plays like the younger guy that Charlotte
gets crabs from.
Mm-hmm. The one other thing that he was in that I recognize him from, Crossroads.
Wow. Deep cut.
Deep cut.
The girls get a Hampton share. Samantha's assistant quits, steals her Rolodex, and throws a party of the summer. Charlotte dates a 20-something guy who gives her crabs. Carrie sees Big with Natasha, a 26-year-old he's met in Paris. 26. Wow.
Natasha was 26.
Carrie was in a cowboy hat and a tube top. She looked incredible.
So cool.
I was always just like, Carrie Bradshaw is the hottest person I've ever seen. Like, I get Natasha and everything, but at the same time, I was like, it's all about Carrie.
Absolutely.
No one is cooler than Carrie Bradshaw. and she throws up on the beach and they hold
and
her
Randall
hair back.
And Randall holds her hair and I it's know. A callback to when they're at the keg party and they're said that's the one thing about girls in your 20s. They'll always hold your hair back when you're puking.
And this was a great episode too because it had lots of really funny moments, but then all of a sudden would get so serious all of a sudden, but it felt like earned and heartfelt. And that's what I also loved about Sex and the City.
I think that this episode is like one of the most perfect, fully formed episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And it really explores the difference between being a woman in your 20s or a girl in your 20s, as they would say, and a woman in your 30s and sort of the give and take that exists with that.
Yeah. A plus, chef's kiss of an episode.
Plus, I could watch it every day. Another prolific haul that stands out in my heart was our restaurant scandals haul.
The horses scandal was so inspiring, yet also came and went
fell
with a flurry.
Flat. The thing I love about being able to record the show weekly is that we can really pull from the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
We're basically a procedural drama.
And we're a time capsule of what was important at that specific moment. And at that moment, all anyone ever wanted to talk about was horses. Now no one cares. I've been to horses since then.
You have?
Yeah.
What's it been like?
I mean, it's chill. I mean,
business as usual?
Business as usual. It's a little bit easier to get a table.
I feel like it's easier to get a table anywhere now in LA, though.
I think so, because
peasant era.
It's peasant era, and there are lots of fees for if you make a reservation. Like, many reservations just require, like, a secured
card
credit
down.
Card down, and then fees if you cancel within a certain time frame.
That's a restaurant scandal in itself.
I know. That's like the fitness classification of restaurant, except you get fatter by going mm-hmm. to it, not thinner.
Mm-hmm. I got a 4% charge yesterday just on the bill, just so that our wait staff can live their lives.
I love that for them.
Me too. And I thought to myself, or you could pay your staff a living wage. I don't know.
I don't know.
Something
I don't think
to think about.
In America, I don't think so.
No.
I think you pay.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for serving me.
I'll pay you.
Pay you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is how it works.
Not your employer.
No.
Certainly not.
No.
So here is a little recap. I think it's always good to go down memory lane. So let's just we can do a recap of the horses scandal for our clip from this iconic episode. Yeah. So I think first there was rumblings of a rumor that started on Twitter. And I think a niche, very cool publicist was tweeting, I've heard this horses drama and I wish I could unhear it soon enough. Horses Twitter was exploding and there were all these rumors and there was this voice note getting sent around about one of the chefs there named Will Ajanian, I believe is how you pronounce it. Allegedly, he and his partner were adopting kittens for a long time, and mysteriously these kittens would die one after another to the point where their fellow horses, employees and coworkers were like, maybe you should get your house tested for mold. Something's really off about this. And then, according to the voice note rumor that circulated all over town, the wife went out.
Hold on, wait. I just have to preface this that your life will be divided into two, pre-knowing this information and post-knowing this information.
Yeah.
So
prepare. Trigger warning. The wife went out. She realized, oh my God, I forgot something. Came back inside to find that her husband was jerking off and strangling a kitten. And then she realized, oh my God, my husband is a kitten killer. And then I guess this whole really ugly divorce proceedings started to occur. And then now the husband has fled to Thailand, where he is doing restaurant pop-ups in Bangkok, as recently as a couple weeks ago. And I think he's out of the country. So TBD on what's happening. I don't think he's with horses anymore. I think horses is still going and I guess is hotter than ever now.
They're thriving.
They're thriving. And I think a good scandal like this only if you're a really chic restaurant, I think a good scandal beefs up business. Next up, a classic haul, a dark haul. We have messy billionaires.
Oof. Inspired by, again, ripped from the headlines.
Mm-hmm. The submersible Titanic submarine disaster, where people paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to just catastrophically implode underwater.
And that got us thinking, what else are billionaires up to? And how have they been messy about it?
And I need now a trip down memory lane because I'm having amnesia and have forgotten how messy billionaires were. But I know that they were messy because we hauled their mess.
I think we need to bring in some feminine energy to the mix.
Okay.
With Jocelyn Wildenstein.
Jocelyn Wildenstein. She's one of my favorite larger than life people alive today. For those of you who don't know her or you think you don't know her, you probably do because she's referred to as the cat lady because she's had so much plastic surgery. She kind of has like feline-esque features, but she's an icon to me because of the plastic surgery and because she made her billions getting divorced from her husband.
Which is like a classic route to billionairism.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned in this research.
Yeah. So she married this guy named Alec Wildenstein, who is from like a very notable, wealthy art family who, interestingly enough, like if you have time for some Vanity Fair article deep dives, they published a really interesting story about that family that basically claims that part of their wealth was generated from, I think, like getting artworks that were stolen during World War II by the Nazis and like just getting their hands on these like Nazi stolen artworks and then selling them.
Like at auction?
Yeah, I think so. Like it was like really shady. So like, instead of these works going back to like the families or places that they were stolen from, it was like they were just kind of shuffled to this family and they had a hand in something and then that's how they made their wealth. So when that's the case, I'm doubly happy that Jocelyn got her settlement. So she was married to this guy, Alec Wildenstein, and then I guess they had like an extremely messy divorce and she walked in on him with a 19-year-old Russian model and he threatened Jocelyn with a gun and then he went to jail. Then during the divorce, the judge stipulated that she was not allowed to use any alimony payments for plastic surgery. And then at one point in time, they were both he was trying to kick her out of their shared house. And there was like a lot of drama about like who got to keep the house. And like, it was just an ongoing fight over how is Jocelyn going to be set up to live her life to the lifestyle she's accustomed. And so she was eventually awarded, I think it was like $2.5 billion.
And $100 million each year for the following 13 years.
I don't love a judge telling her what to do with her alimony payments.
That's interesting. That's kind of like a read.
Yeah. I think also just the amount of press and like bad press that she got over that time was probably like fed out by the billionaire family from which she was divorcing.
I really am in deep love with how she yassifies her photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that she's active on socials.
I think that this inspired a storyline on Nip Tuck. Do you remember the lady that wanted to look like a cat?
That does ring a bell.
A major one for me that I felt like scratched an idea itch deeply was our Chuggy haul.
Yes.
As a millennial,
it's important to understand not only what Chuggy is, but understand that you yourself are the living embodiment of Chugginess, whether you like it or not.
That's right. And I think what we did with that particular haul was, yes, there were the classics, the Live, Laugh, Love, the Cursive Font. But then we really brought it into like, what's Chuggy for the year, like where we are now. Mm-hmm. And that is an act of service.
Indeed. So here's a little reminder of the Chuggiest things about the year 2023.
Christian Louboutins.
Chug.
Chug.
Manolo Blahnik.
Cycled out of Chuggy.
Yeah.
They're back into non-Chug.
Chuggy is just trying to be... Is Chugginess just like attempting to mimic wealth and doing a poor... Or like a noticeable job of trying to mimic, being a female trying to mimic wealth.
I think being Chuggy requires disposable income,
mm-hmm.
because it requires investing in something that was once cool that has lost its edge, is my read.
Or something about to lose its edge, or something that like the best possible version of it is not Chuggy, but when you do it, it is.
Exactly.
Because you are not wealthy,
mm-hmm.
you're simply middle class. But don't worry, since the middle class is disappearing, you'll soon be poor, and then you will no longer be Chuggy. This next haul is a haul that spent quite a few months in the making. It was one of the original like haul ideas that you had, and it just encompasses so many different things that it took a while to formulate, but it performed well. It was illuminating, and it taught me how deeply I actually do fuck with like Kim Kardashian's brands. And this is the Kardashian Brands haul.
A really special one. As you said, it took a lot of time, thought, research, rewatching, and it came out A+, if you ask me.
Definitely. Really taught me that I'm a big Skims head. But I really sample from a lot of the Kardashians' offerings.
As an update, Khloé just signed a deal for a fragrance line.
Okay.
And Kylie has since launched her Kai collection, which I want to say in the episode, we did predict that there would be clothing coming from Ms. King Kylie.
Okay. Well, here's a little clip from us discussing the Kardashian brands. And now that we have all these updates, there might have to be a part two in 2024.
Here's hoping.
Now that I'm like a little bit hangry, I'm starting to turn and I feel like I would love to also get a like a pie graph of how much of Trash Island is just Kardashian Jenner trash.
I think there is a mini island, like a Richard Branson style mini island that you can only get to by boat,
mm-hmm.
full of Kardashian items.
Yeah, I would say even like maybe 1 square mile or like a couple acres is of Trash Island is just solely dedicated to Kardashian products, yeah. over the years.
And not just their products, but I feel like the latex balloons that they use for their events have to have their own section.
Ooh, yeah. Don't even get me started on those. And if we're going to further talk about global warming and climate change, their private jet usage is just like eviscerating the ozone layer.
I agree. But then I also think like people are so out of pocket and so wild at the airport. Like if I had enough money, I would do anything I could to avoid that. So I
True.
Understand the investment. And like what, like maybe if people had any amount of chill, then Kim would feel safe being in a public area on a flight. But I can't imagine
I guess she can't. Like when you're at a certain level, you can't just like fly first and it's all okay.
No.
You have no choice. But
you have no choice.
Load up Kim Air.
It's, I blame cell phones. I have to say, I hold a special place in my heart for our quarterly Rex episodes. I think it started as a one-off, and now I really can't wait to solidify that in the year 2024.
Yeah, I'm excited for more quarterly Rex, or just like vibes, Rex, and obsessions. Mm-hmm. Those are always just fun. Yeah.
What better way to track a year than through stuff we're buying and concepts and ideas that titillate?
Things we're Googling, etc. Right.
We had Brian Johnson's Don't Die Protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Portola Paints.
Mm-hmm.
Tarot readings.
Mm-hmm.
Candle recs. A lot of skin and beauty recs. That was just Q4.
Brian Johnson, the man who is spending millions to age in reverse, is my muse, it's safe to say. So he obviously made the list of an obsessions and recs episode. So here's a clip of us talking about him.
Anyone who names their body of work Don't Die.
I'm listening.
Paying attention.
Blueprint Protocol, Don't Die. I love this. It's so sci-fi and it's so psychotic to be like, we're now just going to stop, like physically stop ourselves from aging. But it's also like, it is possible if you literally just eat pureed cauliflower and lentils and like don't drink and take a million supplements. I mean, his life is centered around this, but I feel like he thinks it's like the best thing ever.
I'm certainly fascinated by it, but I also think like if you're devoting your whole life to stopping the aging process and it requires like so much discipline and so much stripping of all things that would be traditionally categorized as joyful, like what are we doing?
I know.
That seems like a long, long time to just be
to be eating a lentil. Eating like a lukewarm lentil journey.
Yes, like I'm sad just thinking about it.
It's a system. It's like he's removing options and willpower and just living within a very specific system.
Yeah.
And then like reframing everything. Like he would argue that there is no, like he is now experiencing total joy. It's really bizarre, but okay. It's like cool.
A favorite of mine to this day, and one where I think, again, we were really ahead of our time, is our wellness cult leaders haul.
I love that episode. Felt very wheelhouse, very trip down memory lane. Flew a little too close to the sun when some of the things we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But I wear that as a badge of honor.
I do too. And I honestly think that we kind of predicted the rise of Mother God just inadvertently. Someone called in some Mother God content.
Somebody asked us to haul the members of Mother God.
That is a great haul.
It's a great one.
I would actually very gladly do that. And I appreciate this recommendation.
Not too niche.
No, absolutely not. One of my favorite, what were some of the cults?
Well, we had Guru Jagat, obviously.
Yeah.
We had Source Family.
Mm-hmm.
We had Yogi Bhajan, Bikram, Teal Swan, Nexium.
Nice. One of my favorite realizations that came from this episode is like the origins of Yogi Tea. And now I don't look at Yogi Tea the same after. And can proudly say I won't be purchasing Yogi Tea brands ever again.
Yeah, I'm all set.
Here is a clip that explains why. If you see a gap in the marketplace to grift in that way, then like by all means.
So he's the founder of 3HO, which stood for Healthy, Happy, Holy Organization. And he was known for bringing Kundalini yoga to the Western world.
I like the name 3HO.
Yeah. It sounds kind of like a pop group.
What is Kundalini yoga? Kundalini, I don't think I've ever done a Kundalini yoga class.
Like really intense breath work. But there is a science behind it of the mantras and the way you control your breath, that it does shift how your brain works and can make you feel really great, which is a positive thing. But there's a lot of like capitalism wrapped up in the 3HO business model. Have you heard of Yogi Tea?
I certainly have.
That is owned by 3HO.
Crazy.
Also owned by 3HO is Acal Security, which was a huge security company. Basically, how 3HO worked was if its members owned businesses, they would give their businesses over to 3HO. So that's how 3HO owned the security company that ended up doing like $1 billion in federal contracts for guard courthouses, embassies, and military bases. Like it was a huge company. And then on top of that, when things started to go south and realizing that like these business dealings, people claimed that he was laundering money and all of that, all the people that worked under him ended up going to jail.
Where did he go?
He left the country.
Smart.
Yeah.
Let's talk about another classic dark hall that was also one of the lightest halls at the same time. Bravo Arrests.
Brought to us, again, this was another major Toonish effect, because the week prior, I was speaking on this very show about my delightful Shannon Storms Bedore sighting at Eras Tour at SoFi Stadium.
We called in the DUI of the century.
I said, Shannon Storms Bedore needs to be in the headlines.
Sure enough.
Sure enough.
There she goes.
And what sparked a really important crucial hall, which is those of our sisters of the, and brothers of the Bravo universe who have too been arrested.
Fallen soldiers, everyone.
Which I don't know if it's fallen really, because it actually adds to probably their desirability to be employed on that network.
True. It's a headache, I'm sure, for them to have to deal with the fallout of like the legal ramifications of their actions, depending on what they are.
Right.
Like drunk and disorderly conduct, less of a headache than like a DUI where you drive into a house, or say a years-long fraud situation.
I will say, as a follow-up to the Bravo arrests, I'm trying to recall the OC reunion, but I thought that Shannon was very well rehearsed. She went over, you know, how to frame it on the show and like how to speak to the lessons learned, which is always very important.
A little media training.
Yep. I love a media trained housewife, and I thought she showed up to the task.
Okay. I still haven't caught up totally on OC, but it's on my list.
Yeah. It's okay. You can.
It's a good background. This was a great background season.
Yeah. I truly don't even remember it, really.
Let's have a little clip trip down memory lane about Shannon's iconic DUI arrest. This is a Shannon Storms Bedore fan podcast, first
fan
and
cast.
Foremost.
Yeah.
But I do believe, and I've always thought, that she was meant for big things, and she proved us right by taking a turn a little too fast and swerving into a building.
And then parking down the street, getting out of her car, and allegedly pretending to be walking her dog, which honestly, thinking quick.
That's a smart move. That's a pivot, if you will. Boss move.
Very girl boss, but not so much when everybody has ring cams nowadays.
No, gone are the days of being able to freely drive drunkenly into buildings and then drive away.
Get away scot-free.
Yeah. If you drive into a building, chances are you're probably going to have to surrender yourself to arrest for that.
So she was booked for two misdemeanors, a hit and run and a DUI.
Misdemeanors seem like a slap on the wrist, and basically I've come to the conclusion that Orange County embraces drunk drivers.
To be honest, the entire Bravo universe embraces drunk driving.
But like, I thought DUIs were a felony. I thought you like lost your license. You see those billboards around that are like, don't. I guess that might be talking to people that don't have the means that some of these housewives have. Because it's like for the regular Joe, if you get caught drunk driving, you're going to get fined thousands, tens and thousands of dollars, lose your license and go into hell. But if you're Shannon Storms Bedore, you just drive into a house, you park your car, pretend you walk your dog and then get arrested. And then you just get two misdemeanors. I'll bet she gets like community service or something.
The lawyer that she has is the same one that she got for Gina.
That lawyer is really good. They're also, not, he made it so that they're not releasing her mugshot. Oh. I know.
I feel like a great place to land is to bring it back into Q4. Sort of a revisitation of the initial haul concept, which when Lara and I first sat down to ideate over what Too Niche was, it always included a Goop gift guide haul.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very delightful to come back for a second year of hauling said guide. And a little behind the scenes tea, I was emailing with the Goop people.
Had they listened?
They ghosted.
They are not fans of our...
I don't think they like us very much.
Damn. What did we do to them?
Actually, this goes back to Goop Kitchen Haul. So I was trying to get a promo code to Goop Kitchen for our listeners.
Yeah.
And it was like happening and then radio
crickets?
Silence. Crickets.
Based on what? I don't love that.
I'm not wishing them well.
I wish them unwell. Because
no, I think the thing is Goop needs us in terms of like the conversation around it makes it just that much more iconic.
Goop needs us more than we need Goop. And I'm saying that as a person who really needs Goop. Yeah. And honestly, who better than us, two true Goop historians?
Customers, historians.
Longtime lovers of the brand.
Celebrators.
Look, they did not get off their ass and work for this year's Goop Guide. They phoned it the fuck in.
And it's okay to say that.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, it's the end of the year. I don't want to work either, but here we are. We have to do sometimes the things that we don't want to do. And it was very much clear that that's exactly what they did. So I'm sorry. Have I still eaten Goop Kitchen? Absolutely. Have I checked the website? No, because it kind of turned me off of their website for the time being. But now my interest is peaked because they've hit my rejection point. So now I'm back in. So touche, Goop. Do better next year.
Do better next year. Yeah. So the tea on that is that they ghosted.
But this was before we published our gift guide review.
So the run of show was my friend introed me to the people.
Mm-hmm.
I was like,
We've hauled.
Here's the link to the episode. It would be really great if we could do a promo code. Nothing. After that was like on the table. A Goop Kitchen promo code.
Uh-huh.
Then I was like, I'd really love to touch base. And the Goop gift guide haul from last year did so well. We're planning on doing another one. Would love to talk to you guys. The guide was like under embargo until it releases. And so you can get like a press preview. And so that was all supposed to happen. Then I got ghosted.
But they never got back to you about the promo code. No. I think, honestly, laziness. I think they're probably not answering a lot of emails. I think it's clear from that gift guide that many emails were unanswered.
I'm not taking it personally.
No,
it's
I don't take it personally.
It's more so a wish you well.
100.
We will continue to haul Goop related things.
Yeah.
It doesn't change anything.
Mm-mm. But this could have been an opportunity.
Yeah.
Who knows? Here's a clip of us talking shit on the Goop gift guide from 2023 that may or may not have added fuel to the ghosting fire. We'll never know the answers.
But for the young at heart, we have the Lalo Inez 24 karat gold G-spot vibrator that comes in its own case for $15K.
You're a loser if you spend this much on a sex toy.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Especially if it's like a gold sex toy, you're weird for that. I'm unclear. You should tell no one about it. That's a just a personal thing for just you to enjoy, and no one should be looped into your purchases.
It's an asinine purchase.
It truly is. Like, why? You don't need that. With no. 14K, I could think of a million other things I'd rather have.
Hates it.
Then there's like a $2,000 gong.
Ugh, regular, dagular.
Yeah,
cares?
That's like just the running price of a gong. I'm not inspired by that.
No. And then when you think, oh, dazzle us with one final high ticket item, we have 24-month aged Parmigiano Reggiano wheel for $396.
I'm oddly the most inspired by a Parmesan wheel. Like, if someone gave me a $400 wheel of Parmesan, I'd be like, I don't know where I'm going to put this.
But cool.
But that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit interesting, but okay.
You just have to have the biggest dinner party.
You have to have a huge dinner party. You have to have a big kitchen. You have to have square footage. Once again,
yeah,
we're met face to face with our lack of square footage. And this is really what the Goop Guide does to me. So we hauled our hauls.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to the Nishtas. You make this pod possible.
What a joy. And I also really quickly want to say, because this is coming out December 28th, it's my mom and dad's, I believe if I'm doing the math right, 54th wedding anniversary. And I just want to say happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary
to Nancy and Brian.
To two of the goats.
Major goats.
That created a mini goat. EK.
Yeah, I love you guys. Thank you for life and for being the best. But anyway, and also to the listeners for being the true best, we wish you all a beautiful, safe, happy, healthy new year. We are taking next week off as a little bit of a holiday break. And we will be back January 11th with a whole new year of hauls.
So excited. A, to have this break that I forgot about. Maybe a spend will happen after all. I'll keep you posted, obviously. And then I'll see you next year for way more hauls.
So much more hauling. Guys, thank you so much. We will see you next year.
Until next year.
Stay niche, you better.
Bye.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shanehals and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.
One of my favorite big ticket investment items is from Higher Dose. From infrared sauna blankets to PEMF mats, their science-backed tech helps you sweat and recharge and glow like never before. I am such a fan. I truly lie on my PEMF mat every night. I also love my sauna blanket. They are just incredible items. And because you're a Too Niche listener, you get 15% off your order with code NICHE15 at checkout. So head over to higherdose.com, use code NICHE15, and elevate your wellness routine today.